Hey there.
Welcome to Branding Out Loud.
I'm Liz Usula, and I'm a strategy director at Red Antler. We're a brand agency in New York that is most well known for working with startups. We do a lot of different things and work with a lot of different companies, but some of our most recognized and best loved brands are Allbirds, Casper, Pros, and Otherland. We're here today to talk about Anchor, which is a very cool podcast creation platform that hired Red Antler to reimagine their brand for their next era of growth and for podcast creators in the next era of audio. You might be wondering why we're doing this podcast or what to expect, but we were really inspired to do this series because of Anchor, both the product itself and their team. Podcasting is a fascinating space, and Anchor is doing something really different within it. We'll get more into that shortly, because in this episode, I'm talking to Anchor co-founder and CEO Mike Mignano, as well as their head of marketing, Anna Sean. This mini-series is a behind-the-scenes look at Anchor's new brand and the creative process of branding. So whether you already know Anchor and want to get the story behind their new look and feel, or if you're interested in brand and design and want to know more about how we do things at Red Antler, we hope you'll find this handful of episodes interesting. Hey, Mike, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm great. How are you, Liz?
I'm good. I wanted to start by sharing my conversation with Mike because his founding story is super inspiring and it sets the stage for the work that we're doing together. I'd love to actually start a little bit, you know, further back than maybe even Anchor and know a little bit more about you and how you got started doing what you do and kind of what your background is.
Yeah, sure. So my background's a bit of a zigzag. I'll try to keep it brief. But I grew up a musician. I really was obsessed with music and audio and sound, and was a person that probably would have been totally happy just like playing in rock bands my whole life, or like trying to make it as like a touring musician. But when it came time to go off to school and, you know, try to be responsible or whatnot, I decided to do the safe thing and majored in computer science and get a CS degree. But when I came out of school and started coding and started building software for a big consulting firm, I think very quickly realized it's not what I wanted to do. I thought it was really cool that you could sort of like build something from scratch with just sort of your hands and your mind, but it didn't stimulate me enough creatively. Mm-hmm. And so I sort of made this decision that I was going to try to get involved in the music industry. So I ended up leaving my job and getting a job as a freelance web developer at Atlantic Records. And it was my idea that while I was there, I would eventually transition away from tech altogether and try to work in like a more traditional music industry job. But while I was there, I actually started to love tech, and I started to love a lot of the stuff that was coming out of the tech space, especially as the world shifted over to mobile and decided that I wanted to leave Atlantic and jump into startups. So I joined a startup called Aviary, and Aviary was really all about making it easy for people to edit and take and share photos from their mobile phones. This was around the time that Instagram was really taking off. The mission at Aviary was around to democratize creativity through photos at the time, which is not too dissimilar to what the Anchor mission is now. And I just really found myself drawn to that concept and that notion. And same thing to my Anchor co-founder, Nir, who also worked at Aviary at the time. But while there, we both became really obsessed with podcasts. And we started to wonder why it wasn't easier to create podcast content from your smartphone. Like, why can't people use these devices to be creative and do things that it previously took, you know, expensive hardware or software or steep learning curves to be able to do? And that was really the inspiration behind the company and the mission.
Yeah.
And we got to work, basically poured every free minute of every single day into it. And before we knew it, we were starting a company and quitting our full-time jobs and diving in.
That's very cool. I love that kind of meta theme of creativity, even starting with you as a musician and then finding that creative process in a whole other mode through
technology.
The cool thing was, looking back, it wasn't really that intentional. It wasn't like, hey, I want to make a career out of, you know, trying to build creative solutions for regular people. It just sort of so happened that way. But yeah, looking back now, in hindsight, it's like, oh, wait, there is this thread. There is this theme in the work I've done. And it feels cool. It feels good to know that, like, you know, maybe earlier on in my career where I felt like I was directionless or didn't really know what I was really meant to do in the world, or really wasn't sure what I wanted to do. There ended up being this path and this theme that led to Anchor. It's like my dream job. I just love what I get to do. And I just feel very, very fortunate to do that work and with the team that I do it with.
It's so amazing how these things just kind of unfold and you do what feels right, even if it feels haphazard at the time almost. You know, we're working together in the space of brand. And I'm curious to know what it was like when you were doing that the first time.
Yeah. I don't know if there ever was a first time. It's funny, like, it was never really a super intentional process. It was more, I would say, like, when you're at least my experience building a startup, you're doing so many things all at once and you're doing them as they're needed. And so the process of building a brand, for us at least, and I imagine it's similar with lots of early stage startups, ends up being pretty piecemeal, especially in the beginning, because you're just kind of tackling things as you need them. It's like, okay, we need to choose the colors for this interface or whatever. So you're picking colors, right? And then it's like, oh, we got to now go build this website over here. And this thing needs colors too. So let's draw from the colors we use in this interface. Oh, this, you know, this website actually now needs a logo. So we better build a logo, you know? So I think it's much more, and it was much more of a disjointed process. There was never this intentional, like, hey, we're building a brand. But strangely, over time, like lots of other things with startups, as they grow and develop and mature, it ended up coming together. It was a sort of long iterative journey to get there.
Yeah. I kind of love this idea that you're describing of like brand on demand, like just like as
brand on demand. Yeah, that's it. That's it. I mean, we talked many times often about working with Red Antler because we were such fans of your work and you were in New York like we were, but we can never justify the cost, right? Because doing a whole brand engagement like this, it's sometimes hard for early stage startups to justify that cost.
Sure.
So that, I think that also lends to sort of brand on demand, right? It's like, do whatever you have to do to make it work, including like having your CEO who's never designed anything before design your brand.
Part of why it's so important for us to like look at what you've done, even if the execution of it isn't everything that you'd hope it to be, there's an intent there that is very genuine and authentic and something we want to, you know, understand and build from.
Yeah, I think early on I was conscious of the fact that, you know, we weren't engaging with an agency like Red Antler. We didn't have expertise or experience doing this. And I think that held us back early on. I think if you look at the earliest iterations of the brand, they're so sort of safe and simple and careful. But at some point along the way, I think we embraced that we didn't know what we were doing. And we're like, I'm sure we're breaking all the rules here. And, you know, it's not supposed to work this way, but we're just going to do it anyway. And strangely
yeah.
enough, I think that's when actually the brand started to have its own identity and yeah. have its own life, which is kind of cool. By sort of accepting that you don't know what you're doing, you actually get something that you end up liking and it works for the company. It was kind of funny.
I think that's totally valid. I always think about the ingredients of brand as like strategy and creativity and courage. And like sometimes if you just like got the courage part and just go for it, you know, some really magical stuff can happen.
Yeah, for sure.
I want to take a moment to talk a little bit more about what I mean by courage in branding. In our upcoming episodes, we're going to talk a lot about brand strategy and the creative, of course, which are essential. But there's a huge emotional thread that runs throughout the process. For a rebrand, like with Anchor, navigating change is definitely part of that. As Mike's describing, he knows they need to evolve, but also really likes and is invested in what they've done to date. But even when you're starting from scratch, branding takes bravery, and when you're working with a partner, it also takes a lot of trust. At Red Antler, we of course want our clients to be happy, but also think it's a good thing to be uncomfortable at certain points. That kind of productive discomfort or adrenaline means we've hit on something new. If everything felt rosy and easy the whole time, it probably means we haven't landed on a truly differentiated idea or aren't pushing things far enough. That doesn't mean that everything should look crazy, and sometimes you want to push in order to discover what's too much. And in fact, sometimes simplicity is the most rebellious move you can make. But there should always be a clear point of view that sets a company up to lead their category in an emotionally resonant way. So there's a lot of truth to what Mike is saying that they realized through their own organic process of branding over time. And that's the power of conviction.
So a couple of years ago, we made the very intentional decision to take all the work that we had done, which was both on the creation and consumption side of podcasting, and go all in on creation and focus completely on just making the best platform for podcast creation out there and incorporating all the different elements of that that went into it. And in doing so, really lower the barrier and try to remove the friction. And in doing that, we very, very quickly grew. We grew to become a really, really big platform and power a ton of new creation and overall market share on the creator side. We've now found ourselves in the position that when somebody's deciding to start a podcast in any given day or moment, they're more often than not choosing Anchor over other platforms. We see it scaling globally throughout the world. We have this brand that we love, but we also recognize that there could be ways to improve the brand to better set it up for success in scaling the company and the platform throughout the world. I would say there are certain target creators that we're going after that that we want to make sure that our brand is set up to accommodate. We want to make sure that there are certain areas in the world and throughout the globe that we want to make sure our brand is flexible enough for. So it's really about going from that sort of early stage startup brand that has worked really well to get us to this point and seeing if there are opportunities to evolve it, maybe a little, maybe a lot, to sort of better accommodate the growth and the growing needs of the business.
And what do you think it is about Anchor that's made it grow so quickly and be so widely adopted?
It's just way more accessible, right? And I think part of that is the product. Before Anchor, all of the tools and the technology involved with getting a podcast out into the world, which is like really, really hard to use. They required either money or, you know, steep learning curve of education, a lot of time, a lot of effort, being tethered to your desktop computer, things like this. So it was like very hard, just like actually hard. So I think one thing is Anchor made it really, really easy technically. But the other thing is, and this sort of goes to the other side and the brand side, is I think we also did a good job with the brand of sort of saying to the world, hey, this doesn't have to be that serious. Like this doesn't have to be this really difficult, complicated thing that only professionals can do. And this is why if you look at earlier iterations of the brand, they were kind of so wacky and out there. We sort of wanted to say to the world, anyone can do this. This is fun. This is not technical. This is not being in a recording studio with a zillion knobs. This is just like taking a photo on your phone. This is just like shooting a video on your phone. And you're all doing that already. So I think both on the product side and the brand side, the sort of message to the world saying, this is easy, this is accessible, you can do it, anyone can do it, is why we've experienced so much growth, especially at a time where podcasting in general is just exploding.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. And I think that was, you know, a big piece of why we were so excited to work with you guys is one, the product is great and it delivers. It's mind-blowingly easy. I remember when I was first kind of getting into it and like Publish was right there and I was like, oh, wait, really? You know, it's just like this surprising amount of ease. But then this, as you're describing, like you're really kind of changing the category and like attitudes around what podcasting is and can be and playing a different role in people's lives than it does currently. Like I think that the idea of podcasting being so ubiquitous as a listener is like understood and has been around for a couple of years, but this idea of it becoming more ubiquitous as a creator and it just kind of being one of the many ways in which we connect and communicate is so fascinating.
Yeah. And to me, sometimes I feel like that's almost more important than the product. You know, when we have conversations with people about podcasting, we often get to the point where, you know, we're all acknowledging and recognizing that in many ways we know how to do this already. I mean, like you and I, we're having a conversation right now. We could have this conversation in person and it would be kind of the same conversation. And we we would for some reason be more comfortable with that. But then, you know, when we're remote or, you know, we're behind a microphone or, you know, it feels like there's this heavy process around it, it becomes more intimidating. Even though we're not saying something different, we're saying the same thing. We're just doing it in a different way. So I think that's the message that we try to get across to people is like, you already know how to do this. You're already talking. You're already having conversations with people every day. You know, you're talking about the weather. You're talking about, you know, what's going on in the news. You're talking about your favorite sports team. You know, you're talking to a family member and you know, hearing their stories from when they were your age. Like, you're already doing this. The only difference is that the microphone is on. And that's the biggest mental hurdle I feel like people have to get over to get comfortable with this. And they are. And by having access to the tools and seeing more of their peers and people they respect, or maybe people they identify with doing this, I think the more and more the perception has shifted. And I think we'll get to a point where, you know, as new people come into the space, that perception just won't even be there. It'll, you know, it will just be sort of as accepted or as common as taking a photo or flipping on the camera to shoot a video or something like that.
Yeah. And I'd love if you're willing to kind of dig in a little bit more on the future of podcasting, is there more that you think about in terms of how you see it evolving as a medium, both from a technical standpoint, but also as you're describing, you know, the role that it can potentially play in our lives, expanding on, you know, the role that it already does?
Yeah, I mean, I think the only thing I would really say there is, you know, if you look at the landscape of products and services that enable people to podcast and to share their voices, you know, they're standalone products, they're independent companies. And I think that often comes with, you know, a certain set of limitations or challenges, much like the ones that we experienced as a startup. But then you take a product like Anchor and you put it inside of an organization like Spotify that, it, you know, is clearly like the leading audio streaming platform in the world. I would just say, like, the thing that really excites me is the level of superpowers I think that Spotify can bring to a podcasting platform that really hasn't been seen in any other platform because they don't have that consumption side to the equation, right? There is no other podcasting platform that has this really tightly integrated consumption demand piece to it. So it's really exciting, and I'm excited to continue shipping some really, really cool product features in the coming months that I think our creators are going to love.
I also got a chance to talk to Anna, who heads up marketing at Anchor, about the importance of storytelling in brand, as well as some of the challenges that accompany change. What are you most excited about, and what's most important to you as we're embarking on this process together?
It's been a really emotional journey so far, to be honest, in a great way. It's really exciting to see someone else kind of look at your brand and like do what they would like to do with it, because we're so lost in the sauce, so to speak. Like we're very much in our bubble that it really helps to have an outside perspective. It's been exciting even just thinking about and talking about all of the things that we would like to see in our brand. So like really extending our vision past today and putting everything on paper in terms of like our core values and like really thinking about like what we stand for and like what's important to us. So even just that kind of conversation, getting to have that and share that with you all has been really, really fun and exciting. People remember the stories that you tell through the brands that you work with. I mean, come on, like in podcasting, that's all pretty much all we've got. So I think that was really important to me, specifically like the storytelling part of it and how we could work together to tell a story that has a global reach and that reaches a ton of people, because everyone who wants to make a podcast should be able to make one for free. I think, you know, no matter where we go with this, it's going to be great. It's always going to come with some like growing pains or something when we're changing something that we've lived and breathed for so long now. I think, you know, one of the things that definitely makes me most nervous is changing our logo, you know, our word mark and our symbol, like all, it just holds so much weight at this point, whether or not we think it's perfect. Like it, no matter what it is, it's like, are the creators that use Anchor and have been using Anchor for years ready for makeover? Our identity has also become part of so many podcasters' identities. I'm just hopeful that they will accept us in our next form. You know?
That totally makes sense when you have an existing and really passionate group of people too. It's providing so, so much in terms of opportunity emotionally and financially. You know, people saying things like they wouldn't be podcasting without Anchor is an incredible kind of statement to make. But I think they're going to be along for the evolution with you guys.
Yeah, I think so too.
So that's it for today on Branding Out Loud. Next week, we'll be diving into the strategy for the Anchor rebrand, and I'll be speaking to Red Antler's brilliant co-founder and chief brand officer, Emily Hayward. This whole series is really only possible because of and entirely inspired by Anchor. So a huge thank you to them, and especially to Mike and Anna for being incredible collaborators and great guests today. Thank you also to the whole Red Antler team, especially Haynes David, who is our head of business development and came up with the wild idea to do this podcast in the first place. And thank you to our very patient producer, AJ Falleri.